In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to the Red State Town Hall Program. I'm your host, Primo Mondoni. My co-host, Ken Brown, will join me here in a couple of minutes. Please visit the show's website at redstatetownhall.com. While you're there, be sure to like us on both Facebook and Twitter. Wish to contact us, the email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. The show's broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TalkStream Live, Player.fm, Roku, and at least a dozen other websites. You can listen to the station using their Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, redstatetalkradio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can listen using any phone on the station's 24/7 listener line provided by TalkStream Live by dialing the following. Studio A, 605-562-4209, and for Studio B, 518-712-0045. Before we start the show, let's give a shout-out to our AM, FM, and digital affiliates. WDDQ FM 92.1, Adel, Georgia. WJNW AM 1650, Herman, Tennessee. Talk Radio AM 1620, KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona. WMQL Radio FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina. Kaufman County Talk Radio AM 1680, KCTR, Terrell, Texas. Tex Pro Radio, Gainesville, Georgia. Now let's bring on my co-host from Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Ken Brown. Mr. Brown, how are you today, sir?
I'm good. Congrats to the ladies USA soccer team on winning the World Cup.
Good for them. Yeah, I'm not a big soccer fan, of course.
Me either.
I don't think most Americans are, really, to be honest with you.
But when you talk about soccer and you talk about, you know, USA's never been a real big soccer nation. But
no. If we keep allowing all these folks from other parts of the world coming in willy-nilly over the border, then we might wind up, that might be the case. We may have soccer might be the number one sport in America pretty soon, you know. It could be.
If they don't mind Lee Leland's been on the team.
Oh, that's not a problem. I'm sure that would not be a problem at all.
Not a problem unless, another country says, they can't do that. They're still, that person over there is...
He's from Guatemala. What's he doing?
Yeah, he's on our team. He's
yeah,
he's a Latin American.
Whole other story, I guess. Let's get started. Lot to talk about. Gosh, first off the bat, let's talk about the situation in Greece. It's gotten, I don't know if it's worse or better. Sounds like maybe they're going to strike a deal with the Germans, but I don't know. I don't think it really matters a hell of a lot. If they do, it'll simply be a Band-Aid on the problems. It's not going to fix anything, Ken. And so this whole thing of the Eurozone and all that stuff, and I think it was a mistake that they should have never even went down that path to start with. I'm not just talking about Greece. I'm talking about all of Europe. I think it was a mistake.
Well, I think it's a mistake. the person, the people it hurts is the ones that carry the load, which is the Germans.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're the ones that are and the Greeks apparently have no problem with someone else helping them live their lifestyle that they choose to lead. You know,
that's a socialistic deal, isn't it? Once you start getting free stuff that other people are paying for, you don't want to get that taken away from you.
Well, you know, the thing about the Germans that a lot of people I don't think understand when it comes to, you know, there's statistics all across the globe about what companies spend money and what people save money. And the Germans have always, for a long, long time, have always been one of the most saving populations on the planet. I remember reading an article years ago that said that most Americans only saved about 2-3% of their income. And probably that's probably less now, to be honest with you. But Germans, and this is years ago, but I'd be willing to bet it's pretty close to this. Germans had the highest savings rate of any nation on the planet. And they were at 30% and 40%, depending on which way you measured it and stuff. So, I mean, these people are frugal with their money, and they save money. And they do like a lot of people used to do in this country, is you don't buy something until you have the money to buy it. You don't necessarily go out and finance it and borrow money. You save your money, and you get what you want. You have to delay your gratification a little bit, but you eventually get what you want through patience and being smart with your money. That's the Germans.
I remember doing that. I remember my mom doing that, putting something on layaway. Remember layaway?
Mm-hmm.
you never...
Yep.
I bet the younger folks never even heard of that term, but
that's a poor man's way of financing in a way.
Sort. Well, I mean, you didn't actually get the product until you paid for it.
But it was set aside though. You had it set aside. Yeah.
Yeah. She would go to the store, I think every week, and she would do something. I'd go with her and I'd go, "What are you doing?" I said, "We go to the store and come out empty handed." You know, I kept thinking, "Why don't we even go to the store if we're not going to buy something?" and she said, "No, I've got a refrigerator on layaway." And I went, "What does that mean?" So she had explained it to me. And, you know, I was like, "Oh, see, you're paying for it little by little. And once you paid for it, then you can pick it up or then they'll deliver it."
Yeah.
I said, "Oh, okay. Made sense to me."
I know some friends when I was younger that they did their Christmas stuff that way. They would do all their kids. Like, say the kids wanted some toys. Now, here's the problem. As soon as Christmas came, they would start doing layaway for the next Christmas. Now, I'm not sure how the hell they knew what the kid wanted, but I guess they kind of knew that he wanted it that year, but they couldn't afford it. So they went ahead and got it and put it away and started paying for it. And they would do like their entire Christmas so that when Christmas came, they weren't out of money. It was already paid for. And they might have everything paid for like in September, October, or whatever the deal was. And they'd already have everything paid for and wrapped and ready to go. And so it wasn't a big pressure at Christmas to come up with the money, which I guess made sense, you know.
Wouldn't that be a good way to do it for our country?
Yeah, well, we're not, you know, that's just not going to happen. Unfortunately.
You know, but it's a simple thing. You know, the liberals always think, let's buy it now, buy it now, pay for it later. You know, we'll figure out a way to pay for it later. I'm like, wait a minute now, we're $18 trillion in debt now. And we're just going to keep going like we're going. And when does someone actually put the stop button on us?
Well, here's the thing. I think you're close to your analogy, except there's one little problem with your analogy. The liberals are like, give it to me. And they don't give a damn if it ever gets paid off or not.
maybe so. they don't care until, you know.
It's not their problem.
Yeah, and the other things you've left out is like, well, we didn't do that.
Yeah.
No, we didn't do that. That wasn't me. That was somebody else that did that.
I'm still amazed at people who do the on-the-street interviews. And just recently I heard another one. Remember the famous thing before the election, and they were talking about the Obama phones and all this kind of stuff, and they were talking to this black lady in the line, and she's talking about Obama's stash. Didn't know where he got the money from, but it must be his stash.
Yeah,
and the guy's asking him, like, well, what do you mean his stash? What? I don't know, man. Don't you realize that's taxpayer? No, I don't know whose money that is. It's just his stash. And so I thought, well, that's just one stupid individual who has no idea what the hell's going on. Well, I heard that same thing just recently on I don't know if it was Jesse Waters or who it was, but it was something along those lines, and they asked them, well, the government, basically the answer was, well, the government will pay for it. It's not a big deal. The government will pay for it. The government's got plenty of money. The government will pay for it. And literally the guy goes, where do you think the government gets the money?
Yeah. It's not the government's
money.
And they
had no clue. And the guy goes, I don't know. He goes, no, seriously, where do you think the government gets the money to pay for all these programs and all these things? He said, I have no idea. And and that was the honest God's truth. The guy had no
idea. Yeah, I bet he didn't.
He had no idea.
It's like you still told a story when you were working in the boys' home.
Yeah, right.
About the kid that says, I want to be like my grandmother or my mom or whatever.
Get a job with the government.
Yeah, I want to get that check in the mail every month. Go out there and open the mailbox and there's a check.
On the third of every month. Her job was to go to the mailbox on the third of every month and get a check.
It's magic.
And that's the kind of job he wanted.
Yeah. I'll go to the mailbox and get my money. Yeah. They don't care about where the money comes from. Mm-mm. As long as it comes to them, and they don't have to do anything for it.
Yeah, I just, I wonder sometimes, the whole thing about volunteering or something, if you're going to get a check and being drug tested, if you're going to get a check, all those things are probably good things. But I'm just wondering, at what limit, for people who live like that, I wonder at what limit, what would they be willing to do and what would they not be willing to do in order to get a check? In other words, where do they draw the line? It's like, well, I'll do that, but I'm not going to do that. That's just too much work. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I wonder, I wish somebody would do a survey and say, if to get your check, would you do this? And it'd be something real simple. And most people go, well, yeah, I would do that. But then start increasing the level a little bit and make it a little tougher. And I just wonder at what point everybody would say, "Oh no, I'm not going to do that."
Yeah. Well, I'll give you an example because I'm a teacher. That every year you have to reapply for your kids to get free or reduced lunches and breakfast.
Right.
And it never fails every year. Parents forget they have to reapply, have to fill out the form again. To
something simple, filling out a form that nobody's ever going to check in the first place.
Exactly. So anyway, they're sent letters home, and a lot of people don't read. And the letters say you need to reapply, for this, but for 2 weeks to have a grace period. They give kids lunches and breakfast. So after those 2 weeks, they've taken the forms they've gotten in, and they've processed them, and then they've got them on the system. Well, after that 2 weeks, then it goes into, well, if you're not in the system, the new system, then you got to start paying. Well, here comes the parents, and they go, I got free lunch. My kid got free lunch last year, and the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that, and free breakfast. Why are you having to pay now? I don't know. Because, ma'am, you got to send your form back and get that process. Well, no one told me that. Oh, yes, we sent notes home about that. Yeah. I mean,
same thing every year.
But they're upset because they've been getting free stuff. And I can tell you, being a teacher and going through it, that half of them, if not most of them, can pay for their kids' lunches.
Oh, yeah, I have absolutely no doubt about that.
And they don't do that because they fill the forms out and no one checks the forms.
And everybody, and did you not say that when it comes to like your gross family income, everybody puts zero?
Virtually
every single one, almost.
A lot of them put zero. A lot of them put just a little, a little bit. If you put a little bit, of course you'll have a reduced lunch, the reduced fee for lunch. If you're making zero or next to zero, then your kid gets free lunch, of course. And for a while there, when they first started it, people were worried about it. They were like, "Oh, they're going to come out and get me because I'm going to."
They thought somebody would actually check it, and you could get in trouble.
Yeah.
Then they realized nobody checks anything, and
they realized that Joe next door has put zero down for years and years, and no one's ever come knocking on his door. So
he has a better house and better cars than you do. So
he's not paying. I'm paying for half a lunch, you know, and he's paying for no lunch all year, no breakfast all year. And why should I pay a little bit when he's paying nothing? And I know that, you know, he makes more than I do.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons he has a nicer house and better cars, because he's not paying for the lunch. He never has.
Well,
for all his kids, you know.
It's like, yeah, why not do the same thing he's doing? Because nobody's going to check on him. Like, the heck?
Right.
I shouldn't be able to pay for something. It's just, you know, what do you teach? And then the worst thing about all of it to me is, here goes your child walking through the line, and they barely even stop. Once the lady checking them out, yeah, it recognizes them.
Yeah.
You know, we got a small school. After a while, they all know each other. They just go ahead. And you don't stop and reach in your pocket and pull out that quarter or a dollar or whatever, you know, you should be paying for. These kids just go through the line and they, without hardly even stopping. And what are you teaching the kids? There is a free lunch. There is a free breakfast.
And they're taught that they're not even taught to even be thankful for the fact that they're getting that, because it's nothing to them, and they've never had to do anything or sacrifice or budget their money. I mean, you're not even teaching a child basic budgeting. Like for example,
no, you're teaching entitlement. That's what you're teaching.
Yeah, that's what you're teaching. You're teaching them how to be dependent on the government. Literally, is what you're teaching them.
Yeah, you're teaching them entitlement, that they deserve it, that they should get it no matter what, because that's just the way you do things.
Just because you're breathing and you're here in the school, you deserve this.
But on the flip side, and I know we're going off topic here, but on the flip side of that, what makes it even worse is the kids that do pay for it, if they forget their money one day, well, guess what they get?
What?
They get a peanut butter sandwich. They get a little sandwich or something that's, you know, if they're not.
So the school has to feed them something because they don't want to be, you know,
they don't go hungry, but they don't get the same as the free kids get. They get something different. So they go sit down, and the kids around them who are getting free lunches are looking at the kid that just happened to forget his money that day, who usually pays for lunch every day, who does the right thing. And he didn't get a lunch like all the other free kids. He gets something different that makes him stand out. And the kids go, oh, you didn't pay. Oh, you get the peanut butter sandwich. Oh.
If that were me, I'd turn around to the kid next to me and say, you didn't pay anything. That's for damn sure.
No, but you don't. Those kids don't know that.
Yeah, I know. They supposedly don't know. But the reality is they talk to each other. They all know who the hell. The thing is, the whole idea of everybody in the school wearing the same uniform and stuff like that. A lot of people do that. A lot of schools do that. What I've always maintained about that is the kids all know which families have money and which ones don't. Just because I have the same uniform on as you, if your dad makes a lot more money than my dad makes, I know that. You know that.
Yeah.
It doesn't really. It's like normal progressive policies. It's to make everybody supposedly feel good, which it actually doesn't do a damn thing, because it's fooling anybody, really.
Yeah, it does do some things, in the fact that while you're at school, you don't say, look at those pants you got on. You go, oh, yeah, yeah. You don't have that. You don't have the stuff that's immediate. You don't have the things you can look right at somebody and go, oh, look at that shirt. You know,
when I was a kid, the thing that could tell whether or not you had any kind of money at all or whether or not you were poor?
Tennis shoes.
Exactly. And this is before Jordans and all that stuff. I mean, we go back a long time, Ken. But this is back when you had, back in that day, the big thing you wanted to have was a Converse. It was Converse.
Then it was Pro Keds.
Pro Keds, and eventually, and what was the one that made you jump higher and run faster? What's that one? Remember that one? I cannot remember the name.
I remember that. I don't know who actually had
PF Flyers. Remember those?
Well, those weren't those were never a status symbol.
No, they weren't a status symbol, but Converse was. And I remember one time, because we were poor. I didn't have Converses normally. And I remember one time in school I had on some little cheap, like Dollar General tennis shoes with the really slick plastic bottoms, you know. They were not the type that gripped on the floor. If you were playing basketball, you'd go sliding all the way up to the stands, you know, kind of stuff. And this black kid I knew, we were kind of buddies, and he looked at my shoes. He goes, "Man, where'd you get those buddies?" And I said, "What?" He said, "Those buddies." He said, "Your shoes." He said, "That's what we call buddies." He said, "You wouldn't even want your worst buddy to have those things on."
And that stuck with you, didn't it?
Oh, that stuck in my head. And literally, the first Converses I ever had, Ken, I swear to God, I bought them myself by mowing yards and doing yard work, doing whatever I had to do so I could get me my own pair of Converse, because my poor little grandmother couldn't afford to buy me Converses. So I bought them myself.
I remember buying shoes, and even when they didn't have my size, I would get the next size bigger because I wanted that style. If they didn't have that shoe and I had to have that shoe, I would get the next size. And I was tripping over myself, you know, because the shoe was too big, but I wanted to have that, you know, that shoe.
I never did that. I always got the right size, but still.
I figured I'll grow into it, you know, but when you're a kid, eventually I'll grow into it. And of course, I stopped after a while, but,
Well, when your kids shoes don't last long. I mean, all the stuff we did, all the ball playing we did. At least that, you know, no kids don't play ball anymore like that. I don't think, for the most part. Anyway, we got way off track. Let's talk about Hillary and Bernie real quick. Bernie mania is running wild as Hillary Clinton's campaign is sputtering. This is an article on the Boston Herald that I posted on RedStateTalkRadio.com this week. Now, I know that Hillary is the de facto Democrat nominee, assuming she doesn't blow up, which could be because – oh, by the way, speaking of blowing up, I don't know if you saw this story or not. I posted this. I don't know if I posted it on the website, but I think I posted it on Facebook. Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton are both going to have to give depositions into this RICO case against the Clinton Foundation about all the money. That's going to be on June 28th.
Good.
One of them's going to – Bill's going to be on the 28th, and Hillary's going to be on the 29th. Now, here's the good thing about this is they have to give a deposition as to what their testimony is as to what happened with all the money, right? Mm-hmm. Well, here's the problem for Bill and Hillary. As good a liar as Bill is, especially Bill. Bill's really a good liar. He doesn't know what they know.
Oh.
And she doesn't either, unless someone leaks it to them. So the point is, when they get them up there and they get their deposition and get them on the record saying, this is this, and this is this, and this is this, then they come out and go, you lied. That's not the way it happened. We have proof. We have emails. We have this. We have that. We have documentation proving blah, 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 blah. And
speaking of lying,
should be fun.
Well, speaking of lying, you know, Hillary has just now started talking to the press again. At least she started talking to CNN.
Yeah, the and girl that was at that one at a wedding. They were they're like buds.
Oh well, you know, she said asked some pretty good questions.
A few good ones, not a lot, but a few. Yeah,
but she was asked about, of course, you know, the being subpoenaed, and Hillary said no, she was never subpoenaed.
Benghazi. Talking about Benghazi now. Right?
Yeah, never subpoenaed. And then
Trey Gowdy.
Boehner put out the subpoena. He actually scanned the subpoena and
put it online.
Put it on Facebook, and it's all over Facebook. I mean, the lady, they ask her, you know, why do you think you're not being trusted, 60% of the American people don't trust you. She goes, well, that's all because, you know, of our history, the right wing's conspiracy always up against us, my husband. All. No, ma'am, it's because you lie, and your husband lies, and they don't trust you because you are a liar. It kills me. Did it just kill you? When she gets there and she keeps doing it. See, that's the thing, is that Bill was good at lying. She's not.
Oh, she's
and people don't. I'll stand on this. I'll put my hand on the Bible. I don't think if you ask, and you got the truth for most of the Democrats out there right now, most of them wouldn't want her in there anyway. That's not their choice. But they know they're stuck with her.
Yeah, exactly. Their problem is they're basically stuck because, and if she goes down, they have no chance.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think you need to. It's not Bernie Sanders. You know, they know Bernie Sanders didn't have a prayer, unless you know the whole country was like New Hampshire, but we're not.
Yeah.
So, you got to look at Biden or whoever, somebody out there. Kerry again, Lord.
Or what's the guy they're talking? Like you said, Biden. What's the guy from the governor that's in the race from Maryland?
Texas.
No,
Texas, New York.
Well, yeah, I think he's running too. Officially announced he's running, didn't he or not? I'm not sure.
I think he said he was. Yeah.
It's hard to keep up with the Democrats because really everybody's focusing on Hillary. It's like it doesn't really matter who the hell else is running. Now, here's the thing. If she has to drop out because of Benghazi or the Clinton Foundation money or whatever, if she's forced out, then the Democrat race will get interesting. It'll be like, okay, now who can take advantage of this and come on strong to at least provide a challenge to whoever's going to be the Republican nominee. So,
yeah. But I think they're wasting. If I was Biden or I was, I don't know if I'd be, Kerry would do it, but if I was Biden, I'd get into the race now. I would put my name out there now. I would say, hey, I'm in this.
You know what? I think he's better off not doing it. And if she falls, he comes in as a savior. Oh, mm-hmm. I don't really want to do it, but for the good of the party and for the good of the country, I'll do it. And then then everybody has to rally around him or whoever it's going to be. I think that might be the best move to
maybe.
We're running a little late. Let's go ahead and go to our break. We appreciate everyone listening. It's a Red State Town Hall program. We'll be back in just a moment.
Red State Talk Radio, WRS Cleveland.
Hi, this is Jeff Carlisi from the band 38 Special. The mainstream media has failed the American people once again. Internet radio networks like Red State Talk Radio will not fail you. Tune in 24 hours a day, studios A and B. Great conservative programming around the clock. Red State Talk Radio, the dominant force in internet conservative talk radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-400-1756 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-400-1756 to take your call now. Call 800-400-1756. That's 800-400-1756. Again, 800-400-1756.
If you're diabetic, this message could change your life. Is your blood sugar out of control even when you do all the right stuff? Are you afraid of diabetic blindness and the risk of amputation, as well as all those other side effects? Well, you should be. Is there anything that could help manage your blood sugar? Nobedes is a natural supplement that may quickly and dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Bob Corder. I've been using Nobedes for about 3.5 to 4 months now. And in the first 3 months, I've actually lowered my blood sugars from 500s down to 139, and then it dropped to 88 to 93.
My name is Kirsten. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and while taking Nobedes, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just one day.
The FDA hasn't evaluated these statements, and Nobedes isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But for many, it's helped drop their blood sugar. So if you've been evaluated with high blood sugar, don't delay. Evaluate Nobedes now. Call 800-554-7159 and get two bottles free. Just cover shipping and handling. Call 800-554-7159. That's 800-554-7159.
Hi, this is Primo Mondoni, General Manager for Red State Talk Radio. We've been bringing you the very best in grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio for over 5 years now. One thing I've learned in those 5 years is that internet radio is a tough, competitive business. And if the station is going to advance that next level, it's going to require a significant increase in investments in both personnel and infrastructure. Our listenership grew by 42% in 2014, and with our ever-expanding listener base, it's time that we begin the move to a more listener-supported model to provide the station's future financial needs. Therefore, we're asking our loyal listeners to consider making a donation to help us reach our goals. Monthly subscriptions begin at only $2 per month. So please, help us restore conservative principles to our republic. Visit our website and become a Red State Talk Radio supporter today.
Red State Talk Radio. The Talk Monster.
The path to restoring our republic was laid down by our founding fathers. The principles of freedom, liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government are conservative ideals we will never abandon.
America is listening.
Grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio. It's on the internet. Tune in now. Red State Talk Radio, featuring some of the most popular internet talk show hosts in America today. Are you listening? RedStateTalkRadio.com.
Okay, we're back. have you seen this deal where the USA Today, I posted an article on the website, redstatetalkradio.com. USA Today is reporting that the Army plans to cut an additional 40,000 troops, Ken, to our military.
I don't think that's a surprise in my book.
Well, no, it's not a surprise. I'm just amazed that there's not enough kickback on this. I would think that the American people at some point would go, wait a minute, what are we doing? With all the threats we face with Russia and Iran and China and North Korea and ISIS and, I mean, Al-Qaeda, blah, blah, blah. I mean, this makes no sense.
I'll tell you what it is, Ramon. You know as well as I do that it's because we haven't – if it was on our shores – if we had a 9/11, we had something like that that happened here, then that would be up in arms. Oh, no, we can't do that. But if it's overseas, if it's ISIS, something that's not affecting us, yeah, most people are watching, you know, TV and stuff. They don't care. It's you know, ISIS, who's ISIS?
Well, you know, Reagan's policy was peace through strength. Apparently, Obama's policy is peace through bending over. I feel like that's what we're doing. We're like, come on.
Well, I think this man is, you know, he's a Muslim Islamic sympathizer at the very least. He doesn't ever say Islamic terrorist. He says we weren't and will never be at war with Islam. I mean, this guy is a
someone. Someone should tell Islam that.
Nothing's going to change until this man is out of office.
Right. Yeah.
And that's in a many, many ways. That's not just militarily.
And the problem is, regardless of all the stuff he's done, he's not going to be leaving office until January 2017. There's no way, even though he should have been impeached long ago.
Oh, yeah.
He should have been charged with crimes long ago.
But it's He's got the path.
There's even an argument you may make, Ken, that he has committed treason against the United States.
Oh, I totally believe that. Ever since he went to Egypt and gave that speech, and then he started bowing down to other leaders, I'm like, what are you doing? You're a president of the United States. What are you doing? You're subservient to people. You're apologizing to people. I'm sorry. It's been a shameful thing to watch.
It's embarrassing.
As you and I, who grew up and we lived through the Reagan years, and to see what this country's gone from Reagan to this, we've gone from the pinnacle to the trash heap, and just a couple decades.
Yeah. Speaking of, this isn't the same, but it kind of ties in if you pay attention to what I'm getting ready to say here. And I actually heard another host bring this up on Red State Talk Radio. One of the guys on Russell from Behind Enemy Lines actually brought this up on his show that played yesterday. I was listening to the show. And he brought up something I had never thought of. I mean, I kind of knew it, but I hadn't really thought of it in the way he termed it. And think about this. One of the reasons about all the illegal immigrants and all that kind of stuff is not just for voters. Of course, that's part of it. But this has been going on, the illegal immigration thing. Like, for example, in New York, let's just use New York as an example. There are a lot of illegal immigrants in the city of New York. And therefore, they're in the state of New York, of course, right? And what he was trying to point out is the Democratic Party, in a way, and plus people in New York, don't really care if they vote or not. And here's the reason why. All the representation, all the money and stuff that's contributed to every state when it comes to dividing up the money is based on population. And so they don't really care if they're voting or whatever. It doesn't matter what their opinions are. It doesn't matter. It's just that they have a bigger population, and so they get three things happen. You get a bigger cut of federal money, number one. Number two, you get better representation in the House of Representatives because the number of representatives in the House of Representatives is not based on it's based on the U.S. Census, and the census counts you whether you're here legally or not. They're right. Counting people, not citizens. Right. Okay, that's a good distinction. People, not citizens. So you have better representation, so you can force your agenda more effectively by having more votes in the House from your state. And number three, and I hadn't thought about this one, because of all that, the Electoral College is essentially based on the same thing.
Mm.
So when you got California and you got New York with huge immigrant populations, with about probably half of them being in here this country illegally, if they keep going at the rate they're going, you might be able to win the presidency with Electoral College. I mean, right now it's already down to, if you have California and New York, you only need about four or five other states to get 270 votes from the Electoral College. So think about this. Think of, for example, Texas. Think about Arizona. I mean, it could just get ridiculous, and you'd never ever have an opportunity to win an election again if you're not of the right political persuasion.
Well, I think that's why Hillary's running.
Yeah,
because of what you just said, because she knows that in her back pocket she's going to get New York, she's going to get California.
Yeah, that's a done deal. I mean, she wouldn't even have to go and campaign there. She doesn't have to do anything. She can spend all her time going to other states.
Yeah, she can go to Ohio and Florida and those places that give her the just over the edge. All she needs to go is over the edge to over 272 to win. Right. So it's not a big uphill climb for her.
Right.
Whereas it is for on the other side of the coin, because right. you don't have California and Ohio. I mean, California and New York in your back pocket.
Here's the thing. If you took the Electoral College and took California and Ohio out and just did the other 48 states, I don't think Democrats could win an election.
No. Yeah, if you take California and New York, yeah.
Yeah, if you took them out of the equation and it's just the other 48 states, because if you look at the map and look at the red states versus blue states, there's a hell of a lot more red states. Of course, a lot of the red states don't have as much population. California's huge. Florida, I mean, New York is big, too. Of course, Texas is pretty big, and it's been going blue. But that's one of the reasons about the whole immigration thing is they're wanting to turn Texas blue. That's really what's going on there as far as Texas goes.
Yeah, of course. Anyway. Well, that's what I'm saying. With Hillary, no, you know, 60% of people don't trust her. But does that really matter because of the Electoral College?
I don't know. I've always thought the Electoral College was a good thing because it
level the playing field.
Level the playing field with a lot of small states and stuff. And but now I'm starting to wonder. I don't know. I'm not sure what to think now. And I'm afraid that popular vote's not necessarily the best answer either. I'm not sure how the hell we're going to do this.
Well, it's not going to matter, Primo. It's not going to matter if you don't enforce your voter laws.
If you don't enforce voter laws and actually only have people who are in this country legally as citizens voting, it doesn't really matter what the hell we do. You're right. You're right on that. You're absolutely
right. And the immigration laws, you're not enforcing the immigration laws, which in turn, you know, affect the voter law, voter input output stuff. It's not going to work. It's not going to matter. So. The talk of immigration, that's going to be, you know, big topic. You know,
yeah, we're going to talk about that here in just a minute about Donald Trump and what's going on there. But
okay, let's get to that.
Well, one real quick thing, then we'll talk about Trump. There was the Iranian situation. They had a meltdown this past week. I don't know if you know this or not, but the Iranian prime minister and John Kerry got into a screaming match in Vienna. This past week, and it was so bad that people out in the halls could hear what they were saying. And literally, the Iranian prime minister said to John Kerry, "Never threaten an Iranian." And of course, the negotiations kind of broke down. They did another extension. I think this is the third extension, and they're supposed to do something by Monday, but nope. The Obama administration wants a deal so bad they'll give another extension if they have to. And I'm not worried about that in terms of will they not. I don't think the Obama administration has the guts just to walk away and say, no, we can't work with these guys. I don't think that'll happen. But here's the good thing about the Iranian deal. When the Iranian said never threaten an Iranian, after this was said and the word got around this was said and all the other countries knew what was going on, One of the Russian delegates said, he said, well, let me make sure that everybody knows never threaten a Russian either. You know? And he said it, and everybody started laughing and joking because, of course, Russia could actually do something about it, kind of, you know, more so than the Iranians. The Iranians are really not a real threat in terms of, unless they get a nuke, then, of course, they are a threat. And so that's the whole point of the negotiations, of course. But I just think it's funny that you got Kerry and the Iranian prime minister just going at it, and everybody keeps talking about, you know, we're working really hard on this deal. And that, I mean, I don't know.
Working hard on a deal because Obama's foreign policy is in shambles.
Oh, yeah.
And he has to have something that he's sticking in his presidential library after he's out of the office that, you know, look what I did, which is going to be a piece of crap for us and the rest of the world.
Right. Okay, we got about 9 minutes left. Let's just go ahead and talk about the Trump factor. Number one, there's a new national poll that came out. The Hill is reporting a new national poll that came out this week showing that Trump is leading all Republican presidential candidates. He's leading Bush about 4 or 5%, 3%, whatever it was. And Bush was in the lead, had a significant lead. And before this poll came out, Trump had bounced up to number two in North Carolina, just a North Carolina poll. But now he's number one in a national, first national poll that he's been number one in. And it really all boils down to one issue that Trump has been harping on, and that's illegal immigration. And he's playing it pretty smart. You have to give the guy credit. He's going into places where illegal immigration is really a problem, like, for example, Arizona. He was in Phoenix yesterday. I think it was yesterday. And there were over 10,000 people showed up. And I saw a photo of it on the web. I mean, the place was packed, Ken. I'm not talking about how when someone shows up for a Hillary thing, and most of them are bought and paid for, and they only show the crowd close to Hillary to make it look like it's big, but then when you take a shot of the arena, there's all these empty seats. That was not the case. This was a shot of the entire arena, and it was packed and standing room only. And there were people outside who could not get in. What I heard was thousands of people were standing outside who could not get into the event. So he's starting to gel a little bit. And here's the thing. I think that a lot of people are not sure if they want Donald Trump to be president. But what a lot of people are attracted to is the fact that he just tells it like it is. Whether or not you agree with him or not, that's really kind of beside the point. He just says, like we were talking before the show, whatever topic he's talking about, he goes, well, we got to quit doing this, we got to quit doing that. That's stupid. We're just not going to do that. And then, and we got to do this, we got to do that, and we can't do that, we can't do that. I mean, he just said, like, real common sense, just like, well, that's stupid, this is a smart way to do it, and blah, 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 blah. And again, whether or not you agree with him or not, at least he kind of cuts through all the crap, you know? And people are really attracted to that because, you know, the normal political speech where you try not to step on anybody's damn toes and you try to answer the question without actually answering the question. That's what most politicians do. I mean, you know that. And so, but Trump actually answers the question, and he does it in a way that is so unusual.
And refreshing.
And refreshing in this day and time.
The thing that scares me, though, and about Donald Trump, the thing that scares me is that he's going to not get the nomination, and he's going to run as a third party, and that's going to be the end of the, and that'll open the door to whoever. And if it's not Hillary, it'd be whoever's in that, you know, just happens to be the Democratic nominee, because Donald's not going to take the Democratic vote away. That's not going to happen. He's going to take away conservative votes. He's going to take away Republican votes.
Well, thing about Donald right now, Donald's right now, I mean, you talk about flip-flopping. Donald has flip-flopped on almost everything, just an example. I saw a video of a few years back where he was all for Obamacare, and he was all for universal health care. Now he says Obamacare's got to go, it needs to be repealed, et cetera, et cetera. And just a few years ago, he was all for it. Of course, at that time, he was not a candidate. He was just speaking as a...
Yeah, but I also heard him say that we should have national health care. That's where...
Yeah, basically, his position is, yeah, Obamacare needs to be repealed and replaced, but with something that actually works, and that it needs to be to where everyone can have health care. So he is talking about national health care, but he wants to do it more so in a private mode, private sector mode, not through the government, which...
Makes sense.
I'm okay with that. Now, I'd like to know the details, of course. And the thing is, Donald has no details on anything because Donald is not a details guy. Donald is a big picture guy, and he says, this is what I want done, and he goes to his people in his organization and goes, get it done.
he's like a Steve Jobs type kind of guy that he gets results by putting pressure on people around him to get it done. And if he doesn't like it, he fires them and gets somebody else. And that's, you know, if nothing else, right now, he brings a lot of attention to the Republican Party. And
good or bad.
Yeah, and they should be. They should welcome that right now, because he makes the 2016 race relevant right now, which is right, and it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And that goes along with the debates. He's going to be on the stage,
he's going to be Fox debate. He definitely, because he's number one of the polls. He's going to be there.
I'm going to watch because I'm politically inclined. But that's, you're going to get people watching this
that
don't care anything about anything other than Donald Trump. They want to watch Donald Trump. They want the guy they've seen on Apprentice. They've never watched debates before. If they had, they've watched maybe 2 or 3 minutes of it, and they've turned the channel. This time they'll watch, and they'll probably watch the whole freaking thing to see what Donald says.
Well, there will be people that watch this first debate with Fox, because Donald's definitely going to be in the mix. And like you said, there will be people who maybe never watched a political debate in their entire life who will watch this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be one of the highest rated. Well, it'll probably be one of the highest rated debates of all time, but it could be one of the highest rated television programs.
And the good thing about that to me is that, okay, they're going to watch for Donald, but guess what? What an opportunity. What an opportunity for the other candidates.
They'll get to hear Ted Cruz. They'll get to hear Rubio.
Hopefully Rubio.
Yeah. Right.
And if you've never listened to them before,
yeah,
you get to hear them and go, I like that guy. I like the way he talks. I like the way he thinks. And they never would have listened to him before, because they don't watch those TV shows, or they don't watch, you know, all they watch is CNN, and they all hear the bad stuff about those candidates.
Right.
They just might be turned on to somebody.
Well, like for example, let's say a question's thrown out, Donald gets the first crack at it, and Donald Trump gives his normal thing where he talks mostly about himself, and then he gives some kind of glib answer with no details, but it sounds good, and it makes you feel good, and that's fine. But then next, someone else will speak. It might be a Ted Cruz. It might be whoever. And the point is that the way they answer it, and if they answer it in a much better fashion with some details and some something you can sink your teeth into, like you said, they're going to go, hey, that makes a lot of sense. I like what Donald said, but this guy, he actually has a plan. He actually has a way of doing this. He actually, you know, that I think that could be golden for the Republican Party.
It's an opportunity that doesn't come around, but once in a blue moon, and it's golden for somebody to be sitting on the stage with Donald and take it above Donald.
Yeah. Yes, and go above his glib answer that he will always have.
Where when Donald, if he drops out or whatever happens to him, you go, well, I like that what Rubio said. I like the way he talked. I like the way Ted Cruz, you know, whatever it is, whoever it is that takes advantage of it. And it could be, I'm not saying it's going to be Rubio or Cruz. It could be somebody else.
Could be Ben Carson. Could be who?
Could be Huckabee. It could be anybody. Yeah. I mean, it could be, they could take advantage of that. Hopefully the people that won't take advantage of it won't be Bush and won't be Christie.
Yeah,
I'll be okay with the rest of them.
Well, I don't think Christie's even going to be on the stage. I don't think
that'd be nice. That'd be great.
At least on this first debate.
They couldn't have him on the stage because they wouldn't, you know, physically get anybody else on the stage.
Okay, enough of the fact joke. Okay, we're out of time. Gosh,
already.
You want to take us out, Ken?
I'll take you off topic. Yes.
Yeah.
If we lose freedom here, there is no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. Ronald Wilson Reagan, our 40th president of these United States.
That's it. We're out of here. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.